Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
I don't know exactly how well this will go down. I simply know that we have a constitutional duty to take on this very important case.
Okay.
The president betrayed the trust of the American people, and I have been even saying the same thing as I say in public behind closed doors.
All right, so that's Amy Klobuchar, the senator from Minnesota, talking about what goes on next, basically that it should be a trial, etc., and the argument is over witnesses. But all those arguments are kind of moot for at least a couple of weeks because on the Hill they are out for 2 weeks. And thank goodness that the government has been funded. The president and Congress agreed to that. That happened on Friday. So there is gridlock over what's going to go on next, but that will bounce into 2020. Exactly the words I used when the articles of impeachment, the two articles of impeachment by the House happened last week. Hey, everybody, how you doing? Are you doing good with what's going on in the holidays? To me, in the holidays, people become sometimes a little uptight. The traffic is thick. They're running around trying to grab presents, and the holiday season, sometimes the meaning gets lost and all of that. I totally, totally get it. And I think I'm seeing that play out more because it happens every December, whether you live in a big town or a small town. It doesn't matter. People become sort of crazed. It's like the zombie present alert has gone off in people's heads. And I always wonder, what's the latest somebody runs out and gets a present? What's the latest somebody runs out on Christmas Eve? A lot of times the stores are jammed because it's that last-minute shopping. Oh, well. I mean, you know, it shows the economy's healthy if people are out there buying a lot of presents. Certainly we saw that on Amazon. So there you go. Polarizing issues, of course, could lead to a lot of problems in 2020. And I think that's what we're going to see as we roll into that. If I were going to make any predictions, that would be one of them. And again, you don't have to be a soothsayer or brilliant or somebody who reads the tea leaves. It's pretty obvious, very, very obvious, in fact. A couple other quick hits. There was a sad shooting over the weekend we're mentioning because why, oh, why in the world can't they get it together in Chi-Town? I get it. Humans living in these areas where sometimes gang-related, etc., too many weapons on the street for these gang-riddled areas anyway. So you have two guys now in custody after 13 people were shot at a memorial for a man killed last spring. So more people are killed at a memorial. Makes absolutely no sense. The chief of patrol, Fred Waller, said it was an isolated incident, and it's, you know, they're trying to curb high rates of this violence because of all the scrutiny they get, and the homicides have dropped since the heavy peak in 2016, but it's still ridiculous. It's still very, very high and out of control. If you just tuned in, here's something that's out of control. I've never, knock on wood, been a part of this. I've had people slam into the back of me, but never a giant pile-up chain reaction crash where you had 69 trucks, cars, you name it. In Virginia, Hampton Roads area, I know some people that live in that area, that they were on black ice, and it was that many cars right before 8 o'clock on Sunday morning, and it shut down traffic like nobody's business because, and you had 51 people that were taken to hospital. So some were minor, some were life-threatening, but this is not too far from Williamsburg, and very sad to see that. But like I said, the black ice is what threw this into the severity of the crash and the multiple cars involved in it and all of that. Even the governor, he tweeted out, Ralph Northam, that, you know, hey, thanks to the emergency crews, the first responders, and the hospital staff, because they scrambled with that many people And they were telling people immediately, we got fog and ice and on these bridges, especially get out of this area because it's not going to work. Because you're not going to get through. There's no way you're going to get through. No way. All right, I want to talk about this for a second because the thing that was interesting, I think, over the weekend is lots of great football games, right? We're rolling into bowl season. Normally we do Nail the Score this week. We're not doing Nail the Score. We'll do it next Thursday into Friday's show. But you had a Sunday night game where Kansas City did damage to the Bears, 26-3, an incredible quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, 11-4. So the New England Patriots couldn't clinch a first-round bye in the AFC because of them winning that game. And then you had the – this was the game of the week, so I'm mentioning it at the top. And then you had the – Philadelphia Eagles beating the Dallas Cowboys, where the Cowboys really could have, they were favored by 2.5 points. They could have won that game. They just didn't step up and take it. So it's Philadelphia's game. They don't win the East. The Cowboys still could end up in the playoffs, but they would have had an easier road. And if the Eagles win their game against the Giants, then they're going to the playoffs. Crazy, crazy time. But I know many of you, as much as you like to mix in massive amounts of political talk, you also like to mix in sports too as well. And this is the holiday season when you sit back, put a few dents in the couch, and watch probably more football than you need to. What game am I watching again? Another bowl game? Oh, you got to be kidding me. So when you say, Alexa, what time is the game on? What time? And we're still eons away from crowning another champ in college football, but not with the pro stuff, of course. Before you know it, it'll blink, and we'll be into the Super Bowl, and that's exactly what happens. Christmas Eve, last-minute buying, I mentioned it. And somebody just texted me, actually, a list. The National Retail Federation's holiday consumer survey, 13% of Americans expected to buy their final gifts on Super Saturday, but 6% wait until Christmas Eve. So procrastination, that's Tuesday. You got a lot of places that will close by dinner time, I would think. Amazon actually has same-day Christmas Eve delivery. Boy, that's got to be tough for some of that stuff. For Prime members in certain areas, and if the order's over 35, you have to place it by 9:30 in the morning. So if there was somebody that got left off your list and you thought of them at the last second, you would be able to get them, you'd be able to get them something, and it would get there by Christmas, which is crazy. Wonder what you pay for that service. It has to be hot. Kohl's, they say, staying open 24 hours a day for late shoppers. Round the clock, they're staying open. Yeah. Round the clock. Wow. Well, then you know where to go for last-minute shopping, right? That's where you want to end up because you'll be able to grab something up. Kohl's, they say something like now through the 21st, you earn $10 in Kohl's cash for every 50 spent, something like that. Wow. I don't know. I wonder if the stores are jammed. Like at 6 o'clock on Christmas Eve, I started talking about that in the beginning. Are you out there looking for electronics and toys and sneakers and that kind of stuff? Ooh, you got to get to it earlier. It's like taxes and gifts at the holidays. I don't get it. It's crazy. All right, stay with us.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what Dr. Joe has to say.
Hypertension runs in my family, unfortunately. I started having problems a number of years ago, and I had heard the commercials a number of times, and I personally do not like the idea of being on medication. Even though I'm a physician, you would think, you know, that's our thing, but we just don't like it. So I figured, you know, I'll start the product, and I did, and I got to tell you, it does help. By the grace of God and that product, you know, my labs come back really good all the time, right on the money. I used to always have like cold toes in the winter time, and I used to love going down to Florida for my medical conferences. But since I've been taking the product regularly, I don't have that problem anymore. You got a great product there, Don, and I just wanted to tell you how appreciative I am. Thank you so much.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
Shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen. Well, hopefully not. While pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play your music. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter. In other words, hold my hand.
It's a wrap with Kate's Take.
In other words, die. All right, so here's the thing. I feel like I'm looking around and seeing people that are just in the holiday. I got to get all of my Christmas stuff. I just got to get gifts. I got to grab gifts. I got to just throw things out there. And when did it become so commercialized? So the gift giving, the Christmas trees, all of that. And then we have Cyber Monday heading into the holiday. Before that, remember, we had Cyber Monday and Black Friday. And listen, I'm not trying to rain on anyone's parade. Gift giving is a good thing. It makes you feel good. I get it. But there's something to thinking about people during the year and picking up things when you think of them, right? And I started to look up some of the history of gift giving and Christmas trees and all of that. And they said the first documented Christmas tree, did you know that, in the U.S. was in 1747, Bethlehem, PA. It was a church that they had this wooden triangle, and it was covered in some evergreen branches, and the Moravian church. It was a big settlement there, and they had the first Christmas trees, and people, that's what they did. They wanted to have Christmas trees. And then you look at the history of Santa Claus and the whole idea of do you believe, do you not believe, all of that. And Sinterklaas is actually Dutch and not quite as friendly looking as we know at modern times a Santa would look like. But the influence of Santa really exploded in everything that I could look at and research in the early part of the 20th century. So you had, you know, Santa as a figure in Coke ads. You had Santa Claus that there were ads with Santa Claus in 1920 in the Saturday Evening Post, and the whole idea of Santa Claus. There was the National Geographic that did a thing on Santa Claus in the 30s. So you get the idea. People started to collect it. There was artwork. There were all kinds of things about Santa. And the sleigh, of course. And he had the sleigh. And so the book, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, was actually authored by a guy, did you know this, Robert May, and was given away for free at Montgomery Ward's. About 2 million copies were given away during a time when 50,000 was considered a huge amount. And that was 1939. So Rudolph was born for a massive marketing campaign. That's why the copywriter, Robert May, he put pen to paper, came up with this idea of Rudolph, which is just crazy. And, I mean, think about that one line. Then how all the reindeer loved him as they shouted out with glee, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you'll go down in history. No kidding. You'll go down in history. And it was a marketing deal. It was a marketing deal. They were commercializing this idea of, it was genius, this idea of let's come up with something, and who could it be? And, of course, it was Rudolph. I mean, absolute brilliance. Just total brilliance. And then you look at candy canes. I was thinking about this the other day because I know people either like candy canes or they don't. But candy canes was something that they became, they would give, I guess they would give children who were sitting through long services, that kind of stuff, something to eat, and they were called them, they used to be these white sugar sticks, and in Germany, the original Christmas candy cane came about in Germany about 250 years ago, and they were worried about the kids sitting through long nativity services, that kind of stuff, so they gave them these sugar sticks, 1670. Mm-hmm. Here, kid, I know it's long. I know you got, like, you can't pay attention. But we don't have the red guy in the suit yet, so here's a sugar stick. Wow. Wow. Crazy to think about that. And then to me, one of the coolest traditions, because it brings people together, I mean, all of this, some of this does. It's not all commercialized, right? Christmas cookies and the idea of family have certain recipes, cookies. My family, the Fitzgerald side, they have butter cookies that are incredible. That recipe gets handed down to people in the family. And the gingerbread was one of those foods for people, too. But the idea of the, you know, cookies, they were drops of grain paste that they spilled on hot rocks around a fire, and then they started to become associated with Christmas in Europe around the 1500s. The hot rock fire. Oh, yeah, that paste over there. Let's have that. That's cookies. That's what that is. Yeah. So pretty interesting. Some of it becomes commercialized, like parades, etc. Wrapping paper. You know how big wrapping paper is? It's like a $2.6 billion industry. And wrapping paper goes back to different cultures. It goes back to Japan, Korea, that with a big gift-giving, always wrapping something up in nice paper, and that sort of spread, you know, from there. There's the window displays, and the window displays started in 1862. R.H. Macy, one of the first people to do that, doing the idea of the window displays with porcelain dolls from around the world and scenes from different books, and just wild. So see, some of this I think is good. I like the idea of the window displays. You're looking in for free. You go to a parade, and you're enjoying the parade, and you're pulling all of that in. And, I mean, even though there would be some of that that would be commercialized, how cool to have that tradition of standing there and watching the floats go by in the 20s especially, and the idea of the Christmas cookies and the idea of cards. Now, of course, has it exploded. It's a multi-million dollar industry at least. But that the original Christmas cards, the giving of Christmas cards goes back to 1843. You know, the one thing I remember about Christmas cards is my grandmother, when I was a kid, had a piece of, I mean, it was just really thin, I guess it was, I want to say it was thread. It was probably thread. She got so many Christmas cards, they would be strung up all over the house. And I thought it was so cool. I thought, oh my gosh, everyone loves my grandmother. Because this whole house, she could wall the papers with these. I mean, it could be wallpaper for her. It was so many of them. That's how loved she was by so many people. And I thought that was the coolest thing. And now, a lot of times, because of the electronics, people send electronic cards, and they don't send as many paper cards as they used to. So in one breath, I'm telling you, it's too commercialized, it's ridiculous, people running around like crazy with their hair on fire, and bad attitudes, trying to find a place to park, and being hysterical, trying to get these last-minute gifts. But then on the other hand, there's some great traditions, and not all of them were... A lot of them, anyway, were commercialized, so they were started to get attention, but then they turned into something a little bit nicer. I think there is something about the idea of a tree and the smell of a tree and the ornaments on a tree and the idea of the Christmas stories and all of that. I guess, for me, Black Friday, running out to grab stuff just because. Why? Because it's so insane when it's past Thanksgiving. And then Cyber Monday, and the same thing. That's a marketing deal, and that happened in the early 2000s. And good for anybody from the National Retail Federation for coming up with it. But then for everybody else getting pulled into it and then knowing, well, wait a second, I have to have a deal, right? It's in our head. We got to get a deal. So if we don't do it on Friday, then we got to do it on Monday, because somehow we can't miss out on these deals. And then that frenzy kicks in. And then how did, you know, Christmas become so commercialized? And the answer is over time. From simple little things like ornaments, from simple little things like sugar sticks so kids would be quieted through long services. Through simple little things like a great storyteller who was an ad guy, copywriter, who wrote a very popular book, Rudolph, who knew how big that would be for Montgomery Ward's, but it was genius. And that's how it all begins. It starts with a simple idea and explodes either in a direction that we don't ultimately like or one that we wish would be a little more quaint, but it's still something we do, like cards and cookies and trees and ornaments and wrapping paper. You get it. Yeah. And every year, just like taxes, it's the same time of year. And every year, so many of us procrastinate. Wow. Hang with us.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
U.S. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump is tweeting that the Democrats have no case after a new demand for impeachment testimony. Top Senate Democrat Chuck Schumer says an email from a White House aide is shedding light on President Trump's request for Ukraine's leader to investigate the Bidens.
This email is explosive. A top administration official, one that we requested, is saying, stop the aid, 91 minutes after Trump called Zelensky, and said, keep it hush-hush. What more do you need to request a witness?
But Senate Judiciary Chair Lindsey Graham says Democrats' feelings about the president are out of control.
Democrats hate him so much, they don't love anything constitutional anymore. All the rules have been thrown in a ditch to get Trump, from the way they impeached him to now denying his day in court.
This is USA Radio News.
Tired of overpaying for the little blue pill? What if you could get the exact same results for just a fraction of the price, guaranteed? Well, now you can with Sildenafil, the active ingredient in the blue pill. With 20 milligram generic Sildenafil tablets, you get the exact same results for less than $2 per pill, and again, the results are guaranteed. That's right, absolutely guaranteed results for a fraction of the cost of the little blue pill. So give your wallet a break and call us toll-free at 800-365-6017 to get your generic Sildenafil delivered discreetly to your door. And of course, while saving hundreds of dollars, you'll also be saving time by saying goodbye to those long, embarrassing pharmacy lines once and for all. Again, just call 800-365-6017 and get your generic Sildenafil with a 100% money-back guarantee. Getting your pills doesn't get any easier or cheaper than this, so call 800-365-6017 now.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life Crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life Crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer, can communicate information, and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Have in our virtual green room on this edition of Author's Corner, Mark Elwin Thomas. He has written a book that just grabs you, and it's called Blades of Grass, the story of George Elwin Hogg, and this guy was absolutely amazing. What he did and how the Chinese people embraced him, and there's even some breaking news that Mark is going to share with us. So, Mark, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you, Kate. Lovely to meet with you.
So before we dive into this, I mean, you've written this book, Blades of Grass, but now there's word from China that what? I'm going to let you have the stage. What did you find out?
Well, yes, today's breaking news, as you say, is that this very morning I signed the contract with the most prestigious publisher in China for them to translate my book and publish throughout China, Hong Kong, Taiwan, and yeah.
So wow.
That's pretty amazing.
It is pretty amazing.
They regard this whole subject as the most definitive biography of this man, who is officially recognized as one of the most profoundly significant stories in modern Chinese history.
Boy, that,
put it that way.
Yeah, that is amazing. And this is an uncle you never met, but you decided to write about him. Tell me about that journey and why you wrote the book.
Yeah, I was born 6 months after my uncle died in China at the age of 30. In 1988, I went to China for the first time as a representative of my uncle's family at the invitation of the Chinese government in order to attend an amazing week-long series of memorial events. And at that time, I became quickly aware of the status to which my uncle's memory is held in China. Whilst I was there, I was invited to return later that year to act the part of my uncle in a 6-part miniseries for Chinese television. I couldn't believe my ears. But in preparation for that, that task, my aunt handed over to me boxes of her younger brother's letters and article manuscripts and so on, and I became immersed in the story that unfolded. And I returned to China later that year for 3 months filming, after which I started to put the story together. And it took time. You know, one has to make a living, and of course, then life kind of got in the way. And the manuscript sat on a shelf for quite some years. But in the meantime, quite a bit later, in fact, in, what was it, 2008, I think it was, the film The Children of Huangshi came out of Hollywood, directed by Roger Spottiswood. And you know, as often with films that need to cover a subject in a limited time, to my mind, it fell short of the true essence of this hero. But to give the film credit, it told of the kinds of escapades that this guy got up to that time in that place. So it was good that the name, the place, and the deeds got aired throughout the world. So I wanted to get the true story out there with sufficient background information to put the story in perspective for the reader, and with what was going on in the rest of the world, and then also to tell about his background, to try to indicate what molded this young person's extraordinary qualities. So then, finally, when I retired a few years ago, I had time to get the book updated and completed. And here we are.
Yes, and here we are with some great news that we mentioned at the top. So when you go through that box, which now, by the way, is archives at Oxford, what did you uncover? And I'm sure you uncovered a lot of things, but what was the most amazing piece of information or story you uncovered about your uncle?
Oh, it's such a rich story. There are just so many levels and facets of the thing that what really is sort of so mind-boggling is that how deeply he got into the language and culture and got completely accepted by the people he was working with. What else can I say? That, you know, he was a prolific writer. He was, for a spell, a journalist when he first arrived in China, and got to travel a lot. And he was traveling also with guerrilla forces for a while. it just a lot of the book is in his own words, because he was such a colourful writer. He was able to, he had a nice whimsical sense of humour, and this comes through. And then he was able to portray the situations he got into in such a vivid way that as I said right at the beginning of the book, I made no apologies for using unashamedly his own words, because I couldn't improve on those at all. But I acted as editor, and then also, as I said before, gave some built up some more background information about what was happening in the rest of the world, and then built up his background of where he came from and how he grew up and how he got to China.
And so actually, that's an interesting story. How did he get to China? Why did he go to China?
Yeah, why indeed? He'd just graduated from Oxford in 1937, and wondering what to do with his life. And at that time, his aunt, his mother's sister, Muriel Lester, who was a very famous pacifist, she was planning yet another world lecturing tour on pacifism. And he joined her on this trip. First of all, they crossed the Atlantic on the Queen Mary to New York. And whilst my aunt was meeting with all sorts of pacifist groups, talking with politicians and the president and all sorts, she's very high-level, high-profile pacifist. My uncle then traveled, or hitchhiked, all over the States. Finally, they met up after some months in San Francisco to take a boat to Japan. They spent some time in Japan. Can you believe in Japan at that time, who was, committing atrocities in China?
Yeah,
my uncle and his aunt were meeting with pacifist groups, and of which there was quite a substantial crowd. And when it was time for my aunt to move on with her busy schedule to China, my uncle stayed on a little bit more to really get to know these pacifist people, and they asked him to go to China, see really what is happening on the ground, and come back and tell us what is really happening, because they were beginning to realize that the whole nation, the Japanese nation, was being subjected to tremendous propaganda.
Well, the book is fascinating, and we don't want to give away everything. Please pick it up, Blades of Grass, the story of George Elwin Hogg, Mark Elwin Thomas. It is such a pleasure to have you on this show. Thank you so much for sharing your uncle's story, and it's fascinating. I could talk to you all day long.
Thanks a lot, Kate. It was lovely to talk with you.
Blue. Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113. Drinksupertea.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Conversation with this woman. I can't wait to introduce you to her. She's in our virtual green room as part of the Author's Corner. Tallulah Banks has written a book called Pigeon with a Bright View. Tallulah, thanks so much for joining us.
Sure, of course.
So first of all, let's talk about how long you've been writing and why you wrote this book.
Well, I've been writing probably since 2006. The reason that I wanted to, in my spirit, turn to get this out there is because I really have a heart for incarcerated women and homeless, and that's why
you did that, right?
Yeah.
Because you wanted the world to know those stories. You and I talked about that.
Well, just one person reads Pigeon with a Bright View and gains understanding or gets their healing, then it's all worth it.
Well, let's talk about your story and what happened to you, because that was also part of the impetus for you writing this. Tell the listeners about that.
Well, I was going through a bad divorce, and we had two small children, and I had an injunction on him. I dismissed it. Because the kids missed him, I was young and naive, and he immediately gets one on me. And unfortunately, whoever has the injunction on the other, the power and all the cards are in that person. So, I've been to jail 7 times over trying to see my children.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so powerful for you to talk about that and put that in this book. And I want to emphasize this because it's a beautiful book. And again, you can get it on Amazon, Pigeon with a Bright View. And it makes sense because of what we were just talking about, how you wanted to highlight homelessness and women incarcerated. And it happened to you. And when you went through that 7 different times, gosh, how gut-wrenching was that? How hard was that?
Oh, God. You know, every time I went to jail, it was always a little more time, you know, a few days more, a week more. And on the last time to jail, which was my 7th time, I spent 60 days in jail. But, you know, it's the hardest thing I've ever had to do. But honestly, it was the best thing that could have happened because you're trapped in a building. So you can either play Uno or you can examine your character and try to get rid of your muck and sludge and peel back the layers and just hear the hard truth, you know?
Wow, I love that. Get rid of the muck and sludge. That is a what we call tweetable moment, actually. Because you're right. You were sitting there and you could feel sorry for yourself and it was hard and you missed your kids.
Yes.
And then you come out on the other side. So when you write this book, because this is in your head and you sit down and you finally write it, did that feel good to get it out there?
Well, yes. And how I was able, the Pigeon with a Bright View, I had given it to a lady, actually, that I was incarcerated with because she was a recovering prostitute crack addict. So I thought, how awesome for someone that was in jail with me to do a review. So she liked it a lot, so she gave it to her pastor, who was so moved by it. He sponsored 1,000 copies, which was like $4,500. I never met him. And so what I did is my goal is I want to get this into the jails. Because when you can get a book into their little library, it doesn't move. It will never leave because you're not allowed as an inmate and you're free. You can't take anything that's the jail property. So I was able to get it in 22 states, a country in Bolivia, or a town in Bolivia, and a town in India.
Wow. So the ultimate goal is to just get this everywhere.
Yep.
So that you can give hope, really,
exactly,
to so many of the women that are in prison.
Yeah. And the thing is, you know, when you're so broken and you've gone through so much loss, you know, bam, another loss, bam, another loss, bam. Even though it centers around being in jail, and some people might think, you know, kind of snobbly, like, well, then that's not for me, blah, 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 you know?
Right.
But everybody on this planet has been broken before to some level. And everybody on this planet has experienced loss. But here's the good thing about that. God says there's power in brokenness because you're humble, you have a willing spirit, you have a teachable spirit. You know, everything's on the table. And you can deal with the hard truth because you are so humble and you are so remorseful, you know?
Yeah, and you're right about that. So dealing with the hard truth and
mm-hmm.
and being able to examine that. So now,
yes.
Like I'm thinking about this, and the power of Pigeon with a Bright View is, are you planning on doing a sequel?
Well, probably not, because I don't plan on going to jail ever again. But I've completed a short devotional guide for teenagers, and it's written like, I write like I'm actually having a conversation with you.
Right.
It's not stuffy, it's not cliche, it's not the same old thing that every other person is writing. I try to write where it's refreshing, you know?
Yeah.
Like, oh, wow, that's kind of neat, and, you know, and they'll be compelled to, I really want to read this.
Right.
And I just completed a children's book called The Land of Ish.
The Land of Ish. So
mm-hmm.
Tell us quickly about The Land of Ish, because you can't just leave us hanging.
Basically, it's about a girl and God. But how I worded it is the father, not a father, but the father. And he he was like, well, what color do you want to make the sky? And what kind of animal should we put over here? And, oh, wow, Father, I see my face in the clouds. Thank you. And he goes, that's because I love you, and I wanted to show you how much I love you. So there's a nice flow to it.
Right. Yeah, it sounds like it. So, again, we tell everybody you can pick up Pigeon with a View, Tallulah Banks, that's who we're speaking with on Amazon. Ultimately, and I think we've heard that throughout this conversation, but what do you hope people really ultimately take away from reading your book?
Yeah, well, the whole key is to be relatable to all kinds of people, atheists, agnostics, Baptists, whatever. But I want to go further in this because I know that there's power in it, and I say that humbly. And all the feedback that I've gotten from people is more than positive. Like, I was so touched. We used this in the men's devotion and a lot of things like that. But my goal is to reach the masses. You know, I don't want to stop with, you know, a few hundred or a few thousand people. I want to sell 200 million copies, and not because it's greedy or,
right,
ooh, I'll get rich. It's like, if you can reach the masses, now we're talking huge impact.
Wow, I love that. So that's the vision. So your vision is even bigger than that. You're right. It's like somebody told me one time, Tallulah, if you have the passion and you have the vision, of course money would follow. That's just our scorecard.
Yeah,
but it's a byproduct. But what you would do is help people, because there are so many people, you said it, that they might not have gone to prison, but they're suffering some kind of loss, and they are in their own different cages, don't you think?
Absolutely. And there's people out there, oh, I believe in God. Okay, I invited Jesus into my heart when I was in second grade. But there's a lot of people that will never step foot in a church because they've been hurt, they've been judged, the hypocrisy. And that's my whole point. It's just about the love of God. It's not shoving, oh, Jesus loves you, I'll pray for you, you know, which does absolutely nothing.
Right.
And so just touching people on every aspect, because people that have a hard heart, like, I'm not going to church, there's nothing wrong with me, that kind of thing, just prideful, hard heart, I think when they get to that level, sincerely, the only way to prick a pinpoint in them is through moving music or humor.
Yeah, boy, isn't that true. I completely agree with you. I love your broader vision and the way you see the world. And wow, 7 times in jail, and see, you're the example of, it doesn't mean your life is over, this is what you do, and that's part of this too, don't you think?
Yeah, you bounce back.
You bounce back, because it would be very easy, and many people do this, to feel sorry for them, for yourself, in whatever situation you're in.
Sure.
And that's what your book is about. Your book is so aptly titled, Pigeon with a Bright View. So this is the reason why you should pick this up, because it really is raw and telling and a wonderful, wonderful read. Tallulah Banks, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you for having me.
Shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while 2 passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen. Well, hopefully not. While pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.